Access number 2004, Mr. Lenzelik, reel 7. Now, so what happened? You got back to the camp.
So I got back to the camp and
sarcastic
reception, it was indeed. And they were very, very busy preparing to go to Egypt, which meant, in our case, painting the guns, the lorries, all were going to be shipped to Egypt, painting them sand colour, just hand painted, and that's a lot of paint that we had to have injections for the Near East. It was a very, very, very busy time.
Did the injections have any effect on you?
I was quite good with the injections as long as I didn't see the blood. Not really, no.
Didn't make you ill, though?
It did make me ill, no. No, it was stiff arm, but you expected that for a day or so. That's like the TAB one, it's just stiff. But there was plenty of work. Everything had to be done. You had to be kitted out with different uniforms and God knows what else. And then halfway through it, because the Americans wouldn't back it, it was called off and we were stood down. So therefore we had all sand coloured trucks, but we seemed to be well trained. We'd even done some anti-riot dispersal of fire signs. That was all part of going to Egypt.
What did you do all of that?
We had pretend sort of riots, I assume, anti-Arab riots. I don't remember anybody particularly dressing up as Arabs. Some were told to be Arabs, and we marched a particular way with batons and signs saying, disperse or we fire. You had a certain procedure to move in on the other guys who were playing the Arabs. We rehearsed that part, but again, that was all part of when we were going to get to Egypt. That's what we were going to do.
Now, how did you react when it was cancelled?
Relief. Oh no, relief. And I didn't want to go to war. I just wanted to be with my mates. I had nothing against Arabs. It was all right. No problem. So there we were, ready for travel to the Far East, but it wasn't for long. In Ireland, and this is where...
So hang on, so when you weren't going to the Suez, were you going to go to the Far East?
No, sorry, the Middle East.
Middle East, yeah.
We were prepared for the Middle East, reasonably trained, not in particularly infantry chases, but we were up to par, and they decided to send us to Ireland. Now, the reason I remember we were sent to Ireland, that they'd built something like £3 million, a lot of money in those days, an army camp in Ireland, which the IRA blew up. So it blew up. Now, we are in 1956, because I was there 3 months. 56, 57, around about New Year's time. And they always say, or they did until recently, that the troubles in Ireland were for 25 years. Believe me, they were much longer than that because I was involved in it.
Now, where did you go to first?
We went to, we loaded all our, less the guns. We were not taking the guns, we were taking an infantry procedure. We loaded onto trains, we went to Preston, and from Preston we sailed to Larne. And we drove across immediately from Larne in convoy, because we took our trucks with us, to Omagh, County Tyrone. Which was an amazing experience. First of all, we were heavily disguised in sand-coloured lorries, which blended in very well with Ireland, I always thought. As soon as we got there, we had to paint them green again, or khaki, whatever it was. And that was an interesting experience, driving through one village. I knew very little about IRA and the Irish situation, and didn't really care much. You come from one village and people were cheering us. You come to the next village and clods of earth and milk bottles were thrown at us. It was very strange.
Now, what was the situation? What was going on out there?
The IRA were active. I mean, they were definitely active. Long before, they keep telling me... they seem to date it from Bloody Sunday. It was much earlier than that. And in theory, of course, it's been going on since the 20s. I think that's right. They've been active a lot longer than that. But they were active when I was there, to the extent that we got there and we patrolled all along the border of Strabane and places like that, and it was taken seriously. And for the first time, we had loaded weapons. In my case, a Sten gun, but loaded rifles. When we went out on patrol, one of the interesting jobs, because it wasn't always a Chempo. I had a one-ton Austin there, which is just a small troop transporter.
What's in that? I don't know that one.
It's a general purpose truck. It's not as big as the three tonner. I'm coming to that because
it's just a truck. It's not armoured at all.
No. We didn't even have brain gun carriers or anything over there.
So that was your job driving that?
I was a driver, basically.
So you weren't driving the officer anymore, or was he always doing?
He didn't have his champ there, so he would have to go around in a one-ton. I'd probably drive him round, but I don't remember having a champ in Ireland. That just didn't need it. We all went over in big trucks. I think we went in trucks of a larger capacity because we had to drive all the way to Preston and across Ireland, I mean. We went by rail to Preston. Across Ireland we had to drive, and you could get more of the regimental equipment in there, such as the silverware for the officers' mess. I mean, you have to do things properly.
Now, what about the weapons you carried? Had you had any training on the Sten?
I had fired it about once or twice, that's all. Except, of course... the Sten, those were just about once or twice. We were not infantry. I thought we were absolutely rubbish.
No, what do you think of a Sten?
It was a dangerous... I had the posh one with a nice wooden butt and handle. There are all different types of Stens. One is, it looks like it's come from Steptoe's homemade yard. But they're all basically very inaccurate, and any weapon I had was inaccurate anyway, come to that. Because I wasn't very good at it.
But you hadn't had much training on it?
No.
Now, what were you doing then when you got there? Well, firstly, where were you living?
We're living in barracks.
Do you know the name of them?
Yeah, been there since... No, okay. It escapes me. I do know that it's just been closed now.
What were the barracks like?
Lizanelli Barracks. Don't ask me to spell it. Lizanelli Barracks. Omagh, County Tyrone.
We'll look it up for this fella. And what were the barracks like?
Much more secure than we were used to. At that time, all the camps in England, you could wander in and out, and anybody could wander in and out army camps in England. This was much more secure.
In what way?
Barbed wire, the whole lot. Watchtowers, searchlights, the whole bit. It looked like a bit like a POW camp, and there was a bunker just as you came in the main door in case it was charged. There was a lot of security, far more than we'd ever seen before.
Were they comfortable? Were they as comfortable? You know?
Yeah, it was the same sort of equipment, really. It was the same bedding, the same. It was always the same.
Well, what were your duties? We were there 3 months.
It was very heavy. It was always patrolling. We'd take out the one ton Austin. With eight people in the back, four either side. The driver, which was me in this case, and a police officer, because technically it was a police and not a military drill that we were doing. So for political reason, I assume.
What would you do on a typical patrol?
Patrol in the dark.
They were always night patrols.
They were nearly always night patrols. Yeah, we'd go along the border. We'd stop. We'd stop cars, search cars. That's one thing I found out. I was in the back of a lorry when I first got there and pointed at a car behind me, and he slammed his brakes on. And the population were very nervous. We would sometimes do search. We were not. As I say, we weren't the ideal regiment to have done something like this.
We were just driving about
along the border. If we saw a car headlights, we'd flag it down. He'd have to stop. We'd look at his boots, count how many pigs he's got in the back of the seat. And it was all very... There were one or two sort of bad incidents. Not bad, but we did storm a farmhouse once, told that the IRA was up on this farmhouse. And we arrived there fairly late at night in the pouring rain, and we proceeded to go up the hill. The Sergeant Major, no, he wasn't a Sergeant Major, he was only a Sergeant, led us on. I don't know where the officers were, which is a bit strange. He smashed the door in. There were this. I didn't enjoy this. There were two old people sitting in armchairs. This is old Ireland, not the Ireland of today. That's a long time ago. And there were chickens running around in there. It was all very primitive. And we were using bully tactics on two very old Irish people, which I objected to. And then across the fireplace was a rusty old shotgun. And I remember the sergeant making a big fuss. This is a weapon you've got here. Explain this. And it was nonsense. The thing was rusting to hell. He just made a big issue. It left a bad taste, the way in which we were doing it. Not what we were doing, but the way it was carried out through lack of training. Yeah, I didn't enjoy that.
Any other incidents like that?
No, they're funnier than that. We had a tip-off once that there was the RA were going to blow up a bridge. They were quite good at blowing up bridges. They were one of their main talents. And we were to ambush them. We parked our vehicles about a mile away, walked over fields and ditches to get to this bridge, and we were going to make a trap for this so-called IRA assault. I remember when we lined up, we took a Bren gun with us, and the officer asked us, has anybody fired the Bren gun? It's not the right for the army. I told him I'd fired a Bren gun, but only in the army cadets. That's how well trained we were. We were so good. So I was given the job of told to lay down by the side of the road with the Bren gun facing the bridge. The rest of the troop in the darkness went to the other side of the bridge and were going to lay a trap for the IRA, which worried me because I am facing them with a Bren gun, a machine gun. If anything had happened, I'd have shot more of our lads than. And the interesting thing is that I remember a man came along on a bike and said, in his broad Irish accent, good evening there, son. Like, so they knew we were there. But the point is, we'd parked a mile away so they wouldn't hear our vehicles. The whole thing was just amateur, total amateur. And we did that for three nights, and nobody turned up. And I laid on the side of the road with me Bren gun, loaded. It was a dangerous thing to allow me with a loaded gun, but they did.
Nothing happened.
They knew we were there. If there was any IRA, there's no way. Perhaps the man on the bike. When they had a look first, what does he find? A soldier, well, he used the word loosely, laying in the side of the road, pointing at his mates on the other side of the bridge with a loaded gun. Very strange. The other things were I found strange. We had to take the dust cart had to be driven to the council tip, but only when it had an armed guard. And I once played the guard. I sat on top of a pile of rubbish from the camp to go to the council dump with an armed Sten gun guarding the rubbish bin. And I did point out that, you know, I don't think the IRA are going to steal this rubbish.
Have you any idea why you did that?
Because every vehicle leaving had to have an armed guard, even the dust cart. That's a typical army, you know. But I made a sort of joke of it and said, you know, it's... they're not going to steal this, you know, over my dead body, you know. Yeah.
Any other incidents like that?
Yeah, I can't think of any. Some of the lads went to guard the Parliament near Belfast.
But you didn't.
I didn't on that occasion.
How did you get on with the civilians? I mean, were you aware of the difference between
well,
I don't mean per se, but I mean.
I knew of it. I knew of it. Yeah. We would go out in civilian clothing down to Omar, and how do I put this? I had a very full sex life, thank you. Yes.
So some of them were friendly.
Oh, very, over friendly. It was quite. If I am allowed to go onto that subject, the girls over there, they're. We were sophisticated when I went out in civvies. I was a teddy boy. I was top of the fashion. You were only competing at dances with guys in welly boots and corduroy trousers. It was a totally different world. They were so far behind. This is before real television. We're all the same now. But in those days, I was sophisticated. I was like an American arriving in England, you know. So I was out there, I had money, and I had a very full sex life, yes. So some of them are very funny, but not while I'm recording, though.
And what about, were they all Catholics or Protestants?
The most girls, they're mainly Catholic around there, so most of the girls I went with, and there was a reasonable list, were all Catholic. And didn't have a problem going with soldiers, if that's what you're saying. So
the sort of real hatred hadn't started then?
It hadn't started, but the IRA were very active. But did they... Bloody Sunday hadn't happened, so maybe that they were just an extreme group. I don't know, but they were still doing dangerous things. Because we did have one more incident, which was reported in the Daily Mirror, much to our surprise. A device, as they call them now, was found on a bridge, and I'll just say what the Daily Mirror said about it, that it was defused by army experts. Well, not quite. It was Captain Hobson who got a long stick twig from a tree and flicked the wire off it, and we took cover. So the description of an army expert, very brave, but we did not have the expertise for the job we were supposed to be doing. And it doesn't resemble what you see today, the way they work today.
Were they ever shot at? I mean, would they shoot at soldiers?
More bombs? They shot at my lorry from a hill. You were trained to get out of the vehicle. You had to get away from the vehicle if you come under fire, because it wasn't a bulletproof vehicle. They shot at the vehicle. Funny enough, as the driver, I was the first one in the ditch, which is not bad going. And I think three of us fired back up the hill, which we were entitled to do because we'd come under fire. But that was it, because you couldn't see anything. It was dark. It was the middle of the night. But the vehicle was hit, yeah.
Well, that was a one-off.
That was the one-off. That was the only time I ever come under fire, was that. Which is quite interesting, because he hit the absolute dead centre between the lights. And he wouldn't have hit anybody there if it had stayed there, because it had gone right through the vehicle, right through the back, and the bullets would have gone there. There's soldiers there and soldiers along here. He'd have missed the lot anyway. So.
Any other time? You were only there a short while, but any other...
Three months.
Anything else?
Three months. I had a good time. Love Ireland. Still do. Like the Irish. That was fun. When they let us, you know. I had a very, very good time there.
So how did it come to an end?
Demob. But before demob, I wrote off me one ton Austin. We were on patrol. I was driving back. The policeman had left us. We'd left him at a police station, because there was always a policeman. Left him at the police station. I was tired, wanted to get back to camp, drove far too fast, way above the speed limit, and I rolled the vehicle, which rolled three times. It skidded on a bend, the back wheel hit the edge, and it rolled three times over and over and come to a grinding halt. Not a good idea.
And how was everybody? I mean,
Well, they were virtually all unconscious, except Lance, who happened to be in the back, and Roy, who was sitting beside me in the cab. Roy put his hands up to say, when he went upside down, to steady himself when it went upside down into the circular in top of the cab where a soldier can stand up and view, sort of do a Montgomery bit normally. And he put his hand up there, and he had two fingers virtually torn off his hands on the road because it ended up upside down. There was a deathly silence for a second, and then a voice at the back, which was Lance, and in his deep accent said, "Why don't fuck about, man?" Which is the strangest thing to say. And all the rest were knocked out. And the only reason Lance wasn't knocked out, being Lance, he was laying along the radio table, so he didn't have so far to fall. And the others did. They went tumbling over and over. So
Was there any investigation?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, this is the army, isn't it? The radio was broken. My last days in the army were virtually a court of inquiry or court martial, whichever way you look at it, and I was charged with Roy. Roy was the senior NCO in the vehicle, Lance Corporal, but, well, Bombardier. But nevertheless, we both were on the last, on a court of inquiry or court martial. It was performed like a court martial with all sorts of uniformed officers in front. So I think it was a court martial, I can't remember. Court of inquiry, court of inquiry. And that went on for hours, and it was forecast by my regimental sergeant major that I would get 6 months in Colchester prison. So it was taken very seriously, and mainly because it was me driving would have probably got more than Jemmett, possibly.
What happened?
I had an officer, one I respected very much, Lieutenant Orr, was my defence. And he said, you can, because I always insisted that the sign saying slow down bend was too close to the junction where I crashed, just outside Omar. And he said, you can take the court of inquiry to see it. So we all got in trucks, and I was sort of virtually a prisoner then. I wasn't under close arrest, and showed a bit, and that seemed to sway them a bit. And I could also prove that I had not slept for 36 hours. That persuaded them a bit, because I've been on driving and patrol. So in a way, the army was responsible, as they would, as an employer would be today, if you allowed a lorry driver to drive 36 hours without a break, without sleep, I should say. So the last day of that court of inquiry, whether I go to a military prison or not, was the day of my official demob day from the army. And after the result of that, they gave the result of, I was fined the maximum fine, but not sent to prison. I was then free to come back to London, demobbed out of the army.
And do you know when you were demobbed?
Yeah, 23rd of March, 1957. A day that will live in infamy.
Now, what was the process of demobilisation? You know, what exactly did they do?
You had to do another, was it 5 years in the reserve?
No, I mean, they're sort of handing in uniform.
I carried my uniform back, and it was examined by RSM, and he said, there's holes in those socks, you should darn them, you got to darn them. And I thought, yeah, some chance. Dressed in civilian clothes, army uniform in a kit bag, heavy army equipment was left behind at the camp, and then I had to report when I got back to London to my TA unit, which was down at King's Cross.
Now, what were you going to do when you came after the army? Because, you know,
not easy. I was still very rebellious. The job I took the job as a van driver. That was it. I needed to be on my own and not be under official. It was a difficult time for me.
In what way? Why were you having trouble then? Was it because of the army?
Yeah, I had too much. I'm not very good at discipline. I mean, the point of fact is, with a short break, I have been self-employed for the rest of my life. I also noticed that in sport, I don't play team games. I've always been a bit of, not a loner, but independent.
So you set off work in a way you got away from the army. Why did you have trouble when you came out then? Do you see what I mean?
I think I was unsettled. I took a while to settle down. I was not just a van driver. I was a very, very aggressive van driver. Very.
In what sort of way?
What's today called road rage. Every day. Every day I had road rage. I had contempt for too many people, I think, you know.
So just shouting at other people on the road?
I would drive from Clerkenwell to the West End of London, was part of my drive, doing deliveries. And if there was a queue at the red traffic light, I would go along that queue and pull up right in front of the first car and zoom away. It's something you wouldn't see today. You could get away with it in those days. I would just hurl the car onto pavements to park, anything.
Now, what about your TA career?
When I went back, so I went back to them and they said you are a reserve. Actually, tell a lie, you're in some form of reserve up to the age of 45. Yeah.
So I
went to the TA and he said, I was told that my kit would be inspected when I got back to London, and in the TA, instead of that, the man said, throw it over the balcony. And I threw it bit by bit over the balcony. And that was it. And they never wanted to see me again. Because before I did that, I think the CO might have passed on the words, because every man that was being demobbed was called in to see the commanding officer. And he would try and persuade them to sign on for 3 years to do a full term. And I went in there and he said, there's not much point in asking you, is there, Selig? And I said, no. And he said, okay, off you go. And that was it. Others were sometimes persuaded that they would get a stripe in a few weeks if they stayed on. They didn't. Truth is, they didn't want me because they knew that I was a skiver. And they didn't need skivers. So. And they may have passed the word on to the TA because they never, ever got in touch with me to do a camp. And in those days, you normally used to do an annual camp at least. A couple of weeks and go play soldiers again.
So you didn't have to do
anything? I didn't do anything at all. I handed in my uniform. The only thing that I've got to this day is my dog tags, and that's it. I gave everything back. You could keep your pyjamas and socks, by the way. Very useful.
Now, you worked in the van for how long? When did you become a market trader? Or was that quite soon?
That wasn't soon after. I got married before that. I drove a couple of van drivers' jobs. One was for the initial tail company, that's when it ended, driving a van. I was married by then and living in Hornsey. One of the drills with the initial towel company is you deliver towels and soap to offices all over the West End, aggressively, as I've said. You took the old ones, you tied them in a knot, and you threw them in the back of the van. Tied them in a knot, threw them in the back of the van. And one day, when I was married, I got up and found my wife's underwear tied in a knot and thrown in the corner. It was then time to quit that job. I'd got up in the night, tied her underwear in a knot and thrown it into the other side of the room. So then I knew. And then I got a job, first time actually, in an office with wholesale watches and clocks. And totally different then. Used to wear a tie then.
And how did you fit in there?
Oh, tiny little firm. That was okay. No, it was very good. I could handle that. And that went on for some time, a couple of years. I worked for them, learnt the trade, learnt to be a bit of a watchmaker, and in the office, because I was interested in mechanical things, so I'd talk to the watchmaker and he would tell me how you did this and how you did that, because there weren't too much work to do. Did a bit of commercial travelling for them, did stock rooms and call on customers and things. No, that was fine. I could do that, and I'd settle down then. There was no particular anger after that. And I'd got married in the meantime. So
when did you start in the market trading?
I, in the end, got ambitious and would open a little watchmaker's jeweller's shop in East London. I got into serious trouble after 2 years with the tax man. In other words, I started with no money. I bought a load of, every time I earned a pound, I spent the pound on stock, and I was building up that way. And when the income tax told me that I was buying stock with the Crown's money, again, a little rebellion started. But in the end, I got in such a state with the tax man that I had to go out and earn some money. So I decided to go to the market with an engraving machine. And I did dog discs and things, and I enjoyed it. So in the end, the shop had to go and market trading took over. And I've been one ever since.
Now,
quite happily.